And welcome back to 305 Radio. My name is Struck.
And I'm Draymond.
And for today's episode, it's a special episode because we have a few events coming up that tie into this special guest, the one and only Derek G.
Hola.
Derek G.
Fucking mean girls.
What's up, Dean?
What's good, man? How you been?
I'm good, bro. Working, busy, tired.
Man, you stay busy, bro, because this time of year is pretty much like craziness
My
happening
Super Bowl.
All at one time.
It's the Super Bowl after the Super Bowl.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. It is a Super Bowl after the Super Bowl.
For me, it is.
So you've been on the show quite a few times. You've been with us since the beginning, different studios, but you're always creating content, doing events. You got the car stuff going on. Mm-hmm. Recently, you had a museum open up. So tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do for those people who haven't heard any of the previous episodes.
So Derek G, photographer by trade, creative by heart. I'm always just trying to do something cool. You know, I'm celebrating 20 years of my career this year. Not my career, being self-employed, because I started my career when I had a job still. But in 2006, I quit my job to follow my dreams, and I'm still going. So
independent entrepreneur. Yeah, huh?
So I'm blessed to say that I've survived, and I'm still surviving. You know, it's not easy.
Not surviving, thriving.
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 But, you know, it's not easy, but it's worth it. I always try to push everyone to, like, you know, either you try to make the life you want for you, or you're always going to help someone make the one that they want for them. You know, so I just try to, like, advocate for that.
Man, you've been, I know that at the beginning of the year, you put out this, like, this whole new project. I want to call it a project because you keep putting out these motivational
series,
yeah, right? And I know that one of the first times we met, you were doing only photography. And you were like, yeah, bro, I went to work at a hospital. You just walked in, looked around, and walked out.
Not in that, but it was one of those things where, like, you know, I had a nurse manager, and I can never remember her name. Like, I want to, you know, I don't know what her status is these days, but she
shout
told
out to
me,
you
yeah,
and
shout out to you, and wherever you are, hope you're still here with us. She was an older woman, but she told me don't get stuck here, straight up. Mm-hmm. So that same night, I was still living at home. I wanted to talk to my mom, and I told her, hey, you know, she said this to me, like, you know, she's like, well, you know, I love, like I said, still living at home is a different animal than obviously being on your own. I've always had a very supportive mom. I was a single family home, you know, just me and her, basically my entire life. And she's like, do what you gotta do. So the next day I showed up with my 2 weeks notice. I was like, she's like, well, you took me serious. I told her, if anybody's gonna know it's you, why am I not gonna listen to you? And I haven't had a job since. So I'm celebrating 20 years of that this year.
Nice.
Just crazy.
That's amazing, man. I congratulations on all your success. I know there has to have been ups and downs, but bro, you're thriving. You're making things happen. Now, for someone that wants to take that spot, like not that spot, that wants to go that route where they're gonna go the independent route, they're gonna go and work for themselves, what would be one of the things that did it that you almost held you back from doing that?
Well, finances is one of them. You know, you have to be able to make sure you're financially responsible to be able to take that jump, understand like how much you really need to live. Do you have the support system at home? You know, for the young people that still live at home, or, you know, anyone that still lives at home or has someone that can help them. You have to have somewhat of a game plan. Not necessarily that I had a game plan, but it was just one. I had the perfect situation. And as I was still at the hospital, I had an opportunity where I was working with some people. And they had thrown at me like the opportunity, like, hey, you want to work here? I can pay you X amount of dollars. You just need to open and close the place. You can do whatever you want throughout the day, but as long as you're here to open in the morning and here to close at night, like, you're good. And I essentially was making, I think back then it was like $400 a week cash. Mm-hmm. And it was guaranteed every Friday or Saturday. And I only worked Monday through Friday. And I literally could do whatever I wanted all day. So like, I was making more money cash then. I think at the hospital, I was making $1,000 clean after taxes a month. So that's $250 a week. So I'm making an extra $150 and I can do whatever I want. So it was like perfect situation fell on my lap. So obviously that's not going to happen for everyone. It's, you know, and timing is everything, but you just have to understand figure out what you want to do and then run with that and hold on to that. And then once that's successful, then you can kind of pivot and try other things. Mm-hmm. But, you know, a jack of all trades is also a master of none. I happen to be like the most master of none there because I do so much shit that I'm not known for one thing, which actually holds me back because sometimes people don't know what to hire me for because they just don't know, are you a photographer, are you a videographer, are you a producer, like, what do you do? It's just like, I execute.
You're but like, what don't I do?
Yeah, it's exactly, that's the thing. But the problem by that is like, you're going to go get food from a guy that also runs a car wash? Like if your chef goes, I'll wash your car and then make you food, you're just like,
yeah, sometimes yeah. people look
they
at
might be
the
really good
thing.
At both of them, but you're just kind of like skeptic about it.
You don't specialize
magic.
In it.
Yeah, it's like, yo, are you either going to make good food or you're going to wash shit out of my car? Like, what's the
what
can't
be
it?
Both.
You know, and you know what? He could be, but.
I was going to say, why not?
You know, you could be, but society doesn't look at it that way for whatever reason, you know? And I'm a product of that to a certain extent. It might be part of my. I know I'm successful. I know I've been very successful, and maybe I could have been even more successful, but mm-hmm. I know my issue is that I'm so passionate about so many things, it's hard for me to just to lock into one. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of people that make a lot more money than I do, but they just do that one thing.
Yeah.
I have the freedom to do many more things, but once again, I don't live amongst my means. I live very fairly, and I understand that. As long as I get to enjoy and do whatever I want, I'm happy. You know, family is safe, everything's good. I'm content with that. I don't care to be a millionaire. I don't care to be, you know, I don't care about that stuff. All the luxuries in the world I've experienced through clients, I know what it is. What I want to experience with my family, 1,000%, and I hope to one day, but it's one of those things where it's cool, but it's more, I think it's more of a flex than anything.
That makes sense.
You know what I mean? I think it's more to say, like, look what I'm doing that you're not. And I think, you know, not to sound like a hater, not to sound like, oh, because I already did it. Like, I'm not brushing it off. It's Flying Private's amazing. Yachts are amazing. 5-star restaurants are amazing. But then what do you have to look forward to after that?
That's a for the moment type of
Yeah, thing. And mind you, once again, I come from an era where, like, you can hang out with the right group of people in a parking lot till 4 in the morning and have the best time of your life. Having amazing conversations, talking shit, ranking on each other. Literally, that's how I grew up. And those are some of my best times. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But then you also like get to certain levels where like expectations are different. You see how people get treated differently by people with money. And it's like, I don't want to be that person, or I don't want to turn into that, or I don't want to be on the other side of that. So like, even when it comes to service, I'm happy that I built my name the way that I have to where like I can pick and choose my clients. Mm-hmm. So where like, if I don't vibe with the client, I'm not just going to do it for the money. I don't see the energies there. I'm like, I can't rock with them. I'm like, you know what? I'd rather not.
Can't pay me enough.
Yeah, I'd rather not deal with it. I always told myself if I was ever anywhere and a client got crazy, like I would be prepared to spend a few $1,000s to fly myself home just to like be like, I'm not dealing with this shit, you know? And luckily it hasn't happened, but at least I understand that. And I think that's what some people do. Some people will bend over backwards for people with money or just to like be in the circle.
There's no real discernment, right?
You know what I mean? And it's like, I've always said like, you know, drink champs, they always ask like, yo, what's more important to you? What is it? Is it respect?
Love or respect?
I say, I pick peace. I don't care if you love me, don't love me, or you don't respect me. I don't give a shit. I just want peace.
Like,
yeah, leave me alone. You know, and I've never heard nobody say that answer because I sit there and I was like, well, I don't want to force people to love me. If you don't love me genuinely, I don't want it. And I don't want people to like, you only respect me because you want something from me. So to me, it's like, I choose peace over both of them because I'd rather just, you know, leave me alone. I don't care.
I mean, that's experience right there, bro. You peep game and you're like, yeah, I need some peace in my life.
I've been in some cool situations with some very depressed people, and they're funding the whole thing because they have a ton of money, but they're not happy.
Coño, that's such a way to put it, bro.
So before 30, I realized money isn't everything. That's why I move the way that I move, and I'm not worried about like keeping up to date with the cars and all that shit because I like what I like. So you'll see me in an old school before you see me in something brand new.
Facts.
Off the lot. You know what I mean? Because that's what I like.
Yeah.
You know, I read something once like when you're trying to be somebody, you buy a new car. When you are somebody, you drive an old school. And I was like, that right? You know,
that's stuck
like,
with you.
That stuck with me because you know what I mean. Like I know I can pull up in my convertible on a Tuesday and people are like, the fuck is this guy?
Yeah, bro.
You know what I mean?
Don't
it's, a
ride
it's a weekend car, and it's fucking Tuesday. You're at Publix at like 11 a.m. and a fucking, you know. So it's one. And once again, that's my preference. Some people are like, oh, that's just a bucket, or like that doesn't mean anything. Oh, who cares? It's an old, nice car, whatever. Yeah. But once again, it's my life, my choice, and I enjoy that. And once again, the people that resonate towards you or resonate towards that, embrace it. That's why. Mm-hmm. That's who I'm here for. The people that don't care for it, or whatever the case may be, if it's not, I don't care. Once again, it's peace.
So hold on. We're talking about peace, but you are a family man, yeah. And you have, I'm going to go down the list, Slide Global, Vice City Archives, you got the Vixen thing going on. Mm-hmm. We got Live on 305, which we're going to talk about a little bit later during this podcast. But you have all the content creation, you're building brands, you know, you're doing all of these other duties. So tell me how you balance that and you find that peace within all the different projects that you're doing.
Shout out daycare.
I'm a very, as unstructured as I am, I'm very structured in the sense where, like, I know what time I have for myself. And for example, once I pick up my little one or my little one gets home from daycare, my stuff gets put to the side till he goes to bed. So if I have to stay up till 4 a.m. to execute my stuff, cool. But the afternoon and the evenings are for the family.
So good time management.
Yeah, as good as I can make it happen, because sometimes, you know, I'm a last minute person as well, but I feel like I work better under pressure. You know, because, like, I have a whole year to plan this. I started planning this, like, 3 weeks ago, for Live on 305. And, like, my girl's like, bro, you got to get on it. You got to treat it. And she's right. I got to treat it with more respect. I have to treat it like a business. But, you know.
When you know you got to make it happen.
Yeah, like, I get on my shit. And I told you guys what I have coming through. And everything is on through via text message and phone calls. It's not, you know, it's a very communal thing. Like, I have a lot of people in the city that support me. They see the vision. They understand that, you know, it's not a corporate entity. There's no corporate interest. This is literally just for community and culture for us. So even you guys, like, getting you guys involved, and you guys have supported me since the very first one, and you guys get it. And once again, you know, those are Florida sounds.
Bro, that's a real comedian.
Yeah. If you guys didn't hear it, it's one of those backyard things that you guys hear if you live down here in Florida.
Facts. I don't know if it's a lizard, though.
It's a lizard. It's a lizard. It's Sunday. He's looking for some action.
No, this is the first person to recognize that.
Yeah, I know.
We've had this conversation.
Yo, everyone that comes to the studio, shout out Good Tone, is like, yo, what is that? Is that a bird? Is that this?
Nah, it's a lizard.
No, it's a lizard. It's a mating call. Yeah. Nah, I don't believe that.
My dog trying to smash something. But yeah, I think I understand what time I have for myself. I always try to make myself available. Sometimes when I have to work and I travel, like, I'm gone for a few days for work. So when I'm here, I'm here. You know what I mean? Obviously, days, like, weeks before the event, you know, wifey holds down the family while I go and do what I got to do to execute everything I got to execute. You know, grandparents step in and help as well. So we're lucky to have that support system with the grandparents as well. So
I've even seen grandparents at the event. Yeah. So
they come through.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, the first
shout out to all of them.
The first event that you did, that we were there, was so much fun.
Yeah. No. Then you know what? It was fun because we didn't know what to expect. Because it was literally the first one I did by myself. You know, I parted ways with the other team and decided to do my own thing. And I planned that one out in 46 days. It was 46 days out before the date that I decided, like, fuck it, I'm going to do one.
And all right, so let's get to it, because we've been running around this. You've already been on the show, but the real reason why we have you here today is obviously because we're going to be celebrating Live on 305, 305 day, and everybody does something on that day, especially if you're from the crib. Let's get into it. Let's talk about what made you even create this event to begin with.
Well, for those that don't know, that are outside of Miami, 305, right? It's the area code of Miami, right?
So it's March 5th.
305, yada, yada, yada numbers. So it's a point of pride for those Miami locals. When it comes down to throwing up 305, saying 305, you hear it in all the music out of Miami, no matter what part of the spectrum you're on. You know, it's from Trick Daddy, DJ Laz, Pitbull, Ball Greasy.
All the greats.
Luke, everyone, man. I mean, everybody 305 is a staple statement from Miami. It's March 5th, the third month, the fifth day of the year.
305 Radio.
305 Radio. 305 Magazine. 305 Radio. 305 Everything. All right. Continue, sir.
So basically, I used to be a part of a different team that originated the event. And it was just creative differences and just you know, when you don't feel valued somewhere, you just got to kind of go where you're valued. You know, there's a meme that, it's not a meme, it's one of those like things like where it shows the different prices of the same water bottle.
Yeah.
And it says not that you're undervalued, you're just in the wrong place. And that's how I felt. And I would bring all these ideas and they would listen to the ideas and whatnot, but like I don't know if it was credited and I don't know if it was ego. I don't know what it was, but it just didn't feel right. It didn't feel good. And I just decided to part ways, and unannounced, I just, you know what? It's like, I'm gonna do my own. My girl was like, what? It's like, I'm gonna do my own. So what's the worst I could think? I fail, who cares? I'm like, what does it matter? I'm gonna do my own. And I pulled it off. I got, you know, shout out Super Cindy, a huge shout out to Super Cindy. She connected me with one of my first big sponsors ever, and it was the Mesmin in Dover. And they came in not knowing who I was. There was a pitch deck. I had no proof of concept. They knew who I was because of my career and stuff like that. But
I was gonna say you can't say that.
Yeah, no, they knew who I was.
You already had your name, you know.
Nah, they knew who I was, but they didn't know, like, you know, this is like my first like non-car event.
Come on.
That's different. Those are parties. This is like a community thing. You know, especially like my stuff is very
Miami,
you know,
community is
adult
party,
you know, my stuff, you know? Is different. Yeah. Funny that I went to a wedding last night. It was more party than wedding. Yeah, that was pretty great.
As it should be.
But very Miami thing. But like I said, at 46 days out, I did it, you know, and it was literally like I tell everybody, it's all text messages and phone calls, and it's just calling people that have things and platforms and venues. And once again, my name's been clean in the city.
Just connecting
my whole career.
Those dots.
Yeah, it's like, hey, I want to try this. I understand how promotions work just from, you know, working at the Mondrian those 3 years that I was handling, like, the promotions at the pool. And, you know, every venue needs bodies to consume. So I was like, I found a venue that was big enough. You know, venues that are turnkey is, like, the move. If anybody wants to do events, find venues that have everything already. Because what they need is they need bodies through the door. If you can put something together...
Probably you build it, they'll come, right?
Yeah, to a certain extent, because at the end of the day, also the venue has to understand and want that crowd there, you know, because there's some venues that are like, no, we're cool.
We don't want you guys over here.
That's not really our scene. We'd rather not, you know. Like,
not our kind of party.
Yeah, they're very, they tippy-toe around the fact, you know what I mean? And 305 community is a very street community. You know, we're not.
We're hood.
Yeah, basically. You know, so it's one of those things where
pretty
it's like, there's people that are from the city, but it doesn't mean that they're from the community. Mm-hmm. And that's a big thing, you know, where it's like, I explained 1 year, like, this specific event is for a specific kind of group in Miami. We're like nomads, not only say nomads, but we're like.
Don't label us.
But what I'm trying to get at is we're not like the. We're not the South Beach crowd.
We're not your typical Miami
Facts.
Crowd.
We're not
right?
tourists.
We're not the Coral Gables crowd.
We're the cool kids.
We're the 305. We're the street kids. You know what I mean? We're the 305. And that's what this event is about. That's where you see the Chevys and the booty shorts and the art and the graffiti. And it's the street culture. And it's not black. It's not brown. It's not white. It's not Jewish. It's literally street culture.
It's not young. It's not old.
Yeah, it's street culture.
It's
because
everybody.
I have 50 plus year old OGs that are in there grilled up, bearded out.
Yeah.
And I got a 19 year old kid that's trying to freestyle, and they're from the same culture, different neighborhoods, different nationalities, different races, but it's all the same. It's all 305. So that's what that was about, you know. And that was very important to me, to make sure that was represented. You know what I mean? I know Cafecito and Croquetas are a big part of our community, but that's not all we are. You know what I mean? And that's a big thing for me, because the thing is, like, yeah, I'm
not everybody's Cuban, though.
Yeah,
you know?
I'm not. I'm from Hialeah, and my father was Cuban, but he wasn't in the picture. So my household wasn't a Cuban household. Mm-hmm. My group of friends growing up was literally the United Nations of Latin America. It wasn't like what it is now, where like you see a squad and it's all Cuban kids. Back then, literally, my group of friends, I had a set of brothers, Albert and Carlos, they were Nicaraguan. My boy David and his sister Chrissy, Puerto Rican. My stepbrother, Colombian. My next door neighbors, Nicaraguan. My neighbors downstairs, Cubans from Homestead that were transferred after Hurricane Andrew.
Wow.
Who else? This other kid, James, that lived across the block, another Cuban. Natalie from the corner, that's terrible. Natalie, Colombian. had, like, it was just different that we weren't just all Cuban kids. It was literally like the United, everyone's house smelled different. Everyone's mom answered the phone different when you called. We used to call each other's houses. We didn't have cell phones back then. So it was very different. We all spoke Spanish, but it was very
different. But even the Spanish is different.
Yeah, but it was very, very different. So that's the thing. It's like, I can pull up a picture from my high school, and it's like, we literally are all different shades. We're all Latin kids, and it's just different. So once again, it's like one of those things where it's like, it was bigger than Café and Croquetas, you know what I mean? So to me, like, the street culture was different, you know. And once again, I repeat myself because I don't want people to, because you know how people take shit and turn it. I understand that Cafecito and Croquetas are as much a part of the 305 as everything else I'm mentioning, but I'm
but
just saying
not everything.
It's not just that.
You wouldn't, so, you weren't gonna box yourself into that.
I didn't want to, and I didn't, and you know, and mind you, this year we're celebrating that, we're incorporating that into the event. Why? I'm not doing it by myself. I have other people involved. They're bringing other things to the table. Where once again, I'm trying to lead by example. The radio stations are leading by example. I have Power 96, 99 Jams, and 103.5 The Beat on the same event, on the same flyer.
At the same damn time.
You know, I mean, the first year, I had DJs from 99 Jams, I had DJs from Power 96, and I had DJs from Vibes 92 at the same event. Never been, hadn't been done. I don't know if it's ever been done, but hadn't been done in a very, very long time because I've never seen all of them in one. Now this year, I got the three powerhouses at the event together, and everyone, you know, everyone's playing nice. Everyone understands. This is communal.
So you took that risk. It worked out. We're on year number three, right?
Year number three of Live on 305. Year number four of events, because the first one I did was 305 Fest.
Okay.
And then Live on 305 was on the Tuesday. Live on 305 last year was on a Wednesday. This year it's on a Thursday.
So we know we're going to keep certain things the same because it obviously worked, right?
Yeah, it's always on 305.
But
always not.
How has the event evolved during these 4 years?
Well, the first year was on a Sunday, so it's very easy on a Sunday. The real test was the rebrand, which was in 2024. Yeah, the first one was in 23. I had to change the name because I was getting letters sent to me about likeness and IP and all this other stuff. So I rebranded it to Live on 305.
Yeah, we make it work. You
know? No, and then I got way better. People liked it a lot more. And then, you know, I didn't know till I started blasting 305 Fest there was an event prior at Churchill's. It was like a rock festival called 305 Fest.
Oh, no.
I had no clue. So I got backlash on that. And once again, I'm very 305 centric, and I never had heard of that till I had blasted it all over my page, and it was too late to swap it out or whatever the case may be. So come next year, I didn't want to deal with the legal BS. I don't want to take no one else's credit. You know, I don't want to take no one else's creation.
Yeah, we're not copying anything over here, right?
So try not to. And so I went with Live on 305, and I actually got better reactions for it. And you know, it worked out. But that Tuesday, everyone told me don't do it. Everyone.
What? I would have never told you that.
Hold on, my hold girl. On,
I would have never told you that.
What? So,
because it's on a Tuesday.
So doesn't matter. 305.
Because 305. March 5th landed on a Tuesday. Everyone was like, listen, don't do it.
Like sponsors, my girl. I was like, yo, are you sure? Like, you're going to get, you know, you're going to risk your sponsors. You're going to risk, like, if this shit fails, like, you might lose them next year. And I'm just like, but to me, it's like, it's 305.
305
day.
Is 305, right?
It's 305.
It's live on 305 for a reason.
You know what I mean? And I'm glad I you know, I stood on my business, as the kids say.
Me too, bro. Mm-hmm.
And I did it, and it was a success. And it was, you know, even though I produced it on my own, like, it obviously just wasn't me. It's all the sponsors, all the vendors, you know, Shoe Gallery, my homie Radius at Cartel Customs. Hooked me up with the stage team that brought out the pop-up stage, and I had to have, like, my first stage. And doors opened at 3:05. By 2:30, the place was packed. And we were literally on 24th Street between 5th and 2nd in the middle of a block. You know, it's the destination. Like, we don't really have foot traffic. And people were, you know, people were coming off the block and coming in. And I had a bunch of cars parked on the block. And I got there, I think, at 5 in the morning to start holding spaces. I was there by myself. We did it at Maps Backlot. Shout out Polly and the team over there. It's like a big brother to me. He allowed me to do it there. And he gave me access to the property very early. I went the night before, did some stuff, then went that morning and set up cones and tape and all types of stuff. And as the cars were coming in, I was just like, you know, but I did it. I got the cars that I wanted in the front. And, you know, and if there's a will, there's a way. You know what I mean? And it doesn't matter how many people I hire. Like, I'm always going to be the first one there. Chances are I'm going to be the last one to leave.
Ladies, if he really wanted to, he would, yo.
Chill out.
I'm just saying, all these excuses, when you want to make it happen, you make it happen, right?
Chill out. But this is one time a year. The girl shit is different.
5 o'clock in the morning, he's out there holding spots, you know?
Damn. So wherever you, so 5 in the morning, it can't be an easy hustle.
No, but you know what? Like, it's for me. Chances are I'm not even sleeping the night before, because like my mind's just racing with what am I missing? What do I need? Who did I call? Mm-hmm. What do I need to get?
Did I do this? Did I
do
that?
Yeah, like it's literally, so like I'm not. Like, I'll go 2 days without sleep if I need to.
All right.
And I'll be fine. I'm gonna crash out at the end. Yeah. But you know, like you guys know, I don't smoke, I don't drink or anything. I'm not like on something. Like, I get my high off of doing this kind of stuff. So like I enjoy it. People are like, "Yo, you've been here?" I'm like, yeah. Like, who'd you come with? By myself. Like, I'm good. You know, like, I'm here. I'm going to make it happen.
You're right. You want a beer? You want something?
Even when I do, like, my Scorpio Bash parties, I'm bringing it back this year. I haven't done it since...
It's been some time.
It's since 2018 I haven't done one. So it's going to be almost 10 years.
Yo.
It's been 8 years since I've done one.
Is a different monster in itself.
But even that, like, I'm the first one there. I'm the last one to leave. Like... And it's not just my birthday, it's a couple of us that, you know, put it together, but I figured out, like, they do drink, they do smoke, they do want to party, it's different, you know, it's different energies. So I just figured out, like, all right, cool, this is the budget we need. If it's 8 of us, we split it 8 ways. Mm-hmm. You guys can show up whenever you want, you guys can leave whenever you want, because that money helps me hire the people I need to make sure that it gets done properly, because 90% of the time I'm booking a venue that's owned by somebody I know. Mm-hmm. I can't trash the place. I'm not gonna leave there with something like I have to save face, because you know what, I might need that venue again. I might need them to refer me to somebody. It's a network thing. So to me, like I said, my face is very clean. Everywhere I go, I make sure that shit is on point. I over communicate for certain things. I know I can become obnoxious over communicating with certain things, but at the end of the day, like, I even heard people that don't like me say one thing about Derek is that at least he does everything he says he's gonna do.
Facts.
You know what I mean? So like that, you know, whether you rock with me or not, at least you know if you ever have to deal with me, I'm not selling you bullshit. I'm telling you what it is. I'm telling you what I'm going to execute, what I'm willing to do, and that's what you're going to get. But the problem is that's not reciprocated often. So then you get a little attitude from me and a little tone from me, because like, you say you're going to do this and you didn't do it, and 90% of people in Miami, they just kind of brush it off. I take it personal. I shouldn't, but I do, because if I say I'm going to do something, I do it, and I expect, and I should demand the same back. But you already know how Miami, Miami is. So
that's the unfortunate part. You know, you can't the expectation you put on yourself.
Yeah.
You can't put on others.
Exactly. So I've learned to kind of like, all right, cool. You don't want to deal with that. This is what it is. If you want in, this is what it's gonna cost. Boom, 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 and I made it into a business.
Nice.
And it works out for me. I get what I want creatively. I get to execute what I envisioned. And everybody has to have a good time, and it's great, you know. So,
what's been your favorite part about doing all of this, at least for 305 day, for 305 live on 305, and this whole series? What's been the one thing that you could pinpoint as one of your most favorite, the highlight?
There's too many to like point out, honestly. But in general, it's just like showing people what I envision. Mm-hmm. You know, like, some people don't understand until they get there, and they're like, oh, okay, I get it.
Mm.
So it's like, and that's the thing, is sometimes, for everybody, sometimes we're certain things, we're very, very close to something that we don't realize it, and you have to step out. When I started traveling the world is when I realized how different we were.
Mm.
In a good way.
Yeah.
Where it's like, we're literally our own people. You know, if you start going to the West Coast a lot, like, we would go, you would meet girls over there, and they would be like, damn, that's how you guys talk over there? Because people from Miami really don't go out. People from Miami hang out in Miami.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Everybody comes here. People from Miami, like, you don't ever hear, like, a group of people are like, oh, we're going to Vegas this weekend. We're going to New York this weekend.
No.
But, like, if it's a big weekend down here, people from New York are all flooding down here. People from Atlanta are all flooding down here. People from the West Coast, Texas, they're all coming this way. This is the USA's playground.
Yep.
So you don't really get to, like, see the other side of it.
Mm-hmm.
Vegas is probably like the biggest city that a group of Miami, like, yo, spring break, we're leaving Miami, we're gonna leave this for the tourists, and we're all gonna go to Vegas to enjoy Vegas or whatever. Or they go to the Keys or Bimini, or it's like, you know, it's different.
Yeah.
Casey Chobb said it best, like, jet ski culture. Jet ski culture is a Miami thing. Like, there's no other water city that jet ski culture is a thing. Think about, like, all this, and not that they don't use jet skis anywhere else. but that it's like a culture.
It's true.
You know, and he had made such a great point. It's actually on the interview I did with him. And it's like, if a young rapper from down here would take jet ski culture and make it a thing the same way Rough Riders made, like, bike culture in New York a thing, mm-hmm. like...
Yeah, he blew up, especially the Rough Riders, who's the ATVs,
yeah,
the
bikes. Yeah, they're on the street. And mind you, that's like, that's... I don't want to say they were pioneers, because I'm not too knowledgeable on that, because obviously we have our own dirt bike culture down here. Philly has a big dirt bike culture. I know Arizona has a big bike culture as well, but it's one of those things where...
Yeah, they made it to that level.
Yeah, we don't really notice stuff like that because we think it's normal, because it's normal to us.
Yeah.
You know, like, for example, we're from here. We wouldn't wear swimwear on this side of town. But people on vacation, you'll go to the Walmart here in Doral, and there's people in bikinis, and you're like, what the fuck? And it's like, you can tell they're not from here. They probably got an Airbnb in the area, because it's only 20 minutes from the beach, and they're walking around Walmart in bikinis, and just like...
They're in Miami.
Walmart. They're in Miami, but to us, it's like, yeah, we're from here. You know, we know, like, hey, you don't really know where swimwear, like, west of 95. You know? So it's one of those things that once you start traveling, you start realizing, and that's one of those things when I realized, okay, like, you know, from here, looking outside, I understood New York had a culture. Mm-hmm. Stoops and Lexuses and beanies and Timberland boots and denim and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, a certain aesthetic or whatever.
Yeah, aesthetic. It's a great word. Look at the West Coast. I'm a car guy. I've always been a car guy, so I gravitated towards West Coast culture because of lowrider culture.
Yeah.
I love Snoop and Dre raised me, you know what I mean? Like, I loved lowriders
when
I
was...
that's gang shit, but like, you know what I'm saying? Like, palm trees and blues. Like, when you watch music videos, West Coast videos look more like Miami to me than New York videos. Mm-hmm. New York videos were skyscrapers and cold and stone. West Coast, everything was, even though it was gang related, it was very colorful. Like, so tropical, I gravitated towards that. I was like, okay, that looks like Miami to me. But once again, back then, we really didn't have a big rap scene. We had Poison Clan, we had Two Live Crew.
Yep.
But, and then it was just very, that was more grown adult shit. Like, when you're in high school, you're not really looking at ass, and videos weren't as accessible to us as they are now. Now everything we have on our phones.
Yeah.
So I gravitated, as a kid, I had Lowrider magazine. Mind you, dunk culture wasn't a thing yet or none of that. Like, dunk culture developed from seeing all that and what you could do to old school Chevys, the same way like West Coast claimed the 60s Chevys, we claimed the 70s. But it took me to go outside and look back in to realize, oh, wait a minute, socks and sandals was a thing here. Was a thing here. And it's just like, it was very normal to me. But then I would go in airports and I would go to other cities and people would look at me like I'm crazy because I'm walking around with socks and sandals in the airport. It's like, yo, it's comfortable.
I've heard people complain about that. Tourists, they come out and they go, what is with y'all? Wearing socks and sandals.
You're at the beach. Why do you need socks?
It's like, apparently you haven't been to the beach because it's comfortable.
It's a Miami thing.
It's the way it is.
So it's one of those things where, like, I understood that and I started to embrace it. You know, as a kid, I'm not a sports fan. People know me. I don't really care for sports per se, but I love sports culture. Mm-hmm. I love like fan culture.
Yeah.
And as a kid, my favorite color was red. My favorite Power Ranger was the Red Ranger. So my favorite football team was the 49ers. I was a huge Jerry Rice fan. I was a huge Joe Montana fan. I was a huge Steve Young fan.
Yeah, yeah.
You just because it was red.
Yeah, the bubble jackets. I had a 49ers bubble jacket in middle school. Like, that was my, because they were the red team. And as I got older, I started realizing, wait a minute, like, we have our own sauce down here. We have our own thing down here. You know, I went to the Miami Arena as a kid to go see the Power Rangers live. I never even went to, like, a Heat game or a Panthers game as a kid. You know, once again, a single mom. So it wasn't one of those things where, like, I didn't go on a boat for the first time until I was old enough to go with my friend and his father, you know, as a young adult. I think I was, like, 18, 19 years old, the first time I ever went, like, on a regular boat. Went on cruise ships with my mom and shit with friends and family.
But this was, like, fishing. Like,
yeah, like, we went, like, on a fishing, like, you know, just Miami shit. You go on a boat. Like, I didn't ride a jet ski till I was in high school. Then we, on early release days, we would go to the beach with our friends. And, you know, in Virginia Key Beach, you could ride the ski up to the sand. So it wasn't, like, one of those things now where, like, kids are doing it with their dads because they grew up in that. I didn't get to do it till I was old enough to do it as a teen or as a young adult. So once I started traveling and realized, like, wait a minute, like, we have our own thing down here.
Look, he started wearing orange and green.
Oh, no, like, UM is different. I've always been a Canes fan as a kid. I have pictures of me wearing, like, Canes. So Canes was always a thing for me for whatever reason. But it was just a football team situation. So, but yeah.
So, I mean, let's get into the vintage. Mm-hmm. Like, you have your own, is it a storefront?
So I have my archive, and then I opened up a space. I guess it's like a private archive display, museum, for, you know, for lack of better words. It's over at the Yards of Hialeah, or Yards of Amelia, which is an indoor pickleball court. Mm-hmm. They had like this really, they had like this loft that overlooks the pickleball courts. It's kind of like, you really can't use it for much.
Yeah.
So, you know, luckily the owners are friends of mine. Shout out Giancarlo and Dennis. And I brought it up to Dennis. I was like, look, I have all this cool stuff. Excuse me. He ran into me at F1, I think back in 24. And I had a display there at the Paddocks with a Museum of Graffiti. Shout out to Alison and Kev for getting me involved on that. And then I was like, I would like to do this bigger in that space. Kind of laid it out. He gave me half the space. I did it. He loved it. And then he had a second half on another side of a wall that connected. And he's like, yo, go for it. So I kind of built out this. And essentially, it's just a place to display like my personal archive. I had 98.9% of the stuff in there I personally own.
Nice.
A few things are borrowed from friends and other collectors. But it's essentially just, I tell people it's more about nostalgia than education, because I don't know all the stories behind it. Mm-hmm. But I do know people that either went there when they were kids, went there with their parents, had a hat from that place. It's just all nostalgic. When you go up there, you kind of look at it and you're like, damn, I remember that. Like, I have a coin from Funorama. None of you guys are from Hialeah, but I don't know if you guys ever heard of Funorama.
I remember Funorama.
Funorama was an arcade in Westland Mall.
Yeah.
So, like, since I was doing, I opened on September 10th, 2025, which was the day Hialeah turned 100 years old.
Nice.
So that was the day I opened on a Wednesday. And I was posting that, and some woman reached out to me on Facebook, or I don't forget how she reached out to me. She's like, hey, I have a Funorama token if you want to display it. So I was like, hell yeah. So she brought it over. She's like, you know what? Keep it. She didn't even look at the space or nothing. She's just like, yo, you're doing some cool stuff. Here you go, keep it. And the first, that day, I celebrated 100 years of Hialeah and 100 years of University of Miami, because University of Miami opened in 1925. So basically, I divided the space in two and kind of just did a little celebration. Vicky Bakery got involved. They sent us a cake. You know, I had a bartender, DJ Obscene, DJ the event for me. And it was just one of those things that I think, I don't even know how many people showed up, 100 something people on a Wednesday, which I thought was pretty cool.
It's not bad.
But when the space, like I said, it's more based on nostalgia than it is education at the moment. Eventually, I do want to get more education behind it. I want to be able to collaborate. And the goal with this space is to, I can pull out a bin with some historic stuff, but it's just in a bin. So it doesn't get the same respect as if it was on display.
Correct, yeah.
So my concept is to display it there, bring the right people to see it, and then that stuff goes with them to their space. So like the University of Miami stuff I have now, my goal is to get that on campus. Because if it's not going to go to campus, it's going to go right back into bins and into my archive.
Yeah.
Which is great there because I have access to it all the time, but to me it's storytelling.
So can't share it with everybody in a bin.
Yeah,
right?
So like the Hialeah stuff, I would love for it to go to the, you know, the library in Hialeah, or to the city hall in the hallway in the lobby. Just put a flat display case against the wall like you guys have here, and let that stuff live there. There's a QR code, whatever, just kind of information of like who I am, what I'm trying to do. Because doing that also allows me to meet more people that have stuff that's in boxes. I had a dude walk up to me at the first event. I had met him prior at a car event, and he showed up with a bumper sticker of a guy that was on, who was a councilman of Hialeah. I think he was the last white guy to run for like mayor of Hialeah. Jimmy Gunn was his name. And he was a city councilman.
A name for Hialeah, right?
And he had a bumper sticker from that era, and he had it on his toolbox, and he actually ripped it off his toolbox to give it to me to put on display.
That's amazing.
And his wife walked up to me, she's like, let me ask you something, is that really that important? Because he was stoked to take this off of the garage and bring it to you. And I was like, yeah, because she's not from the neighborhood. And I was like, yeah, because this and that. She's like, oh, okay, I get it, I understand. But you know how it is, like, I can, your mom could tell you a million things and you won't listen until your friend tells you.
Exactly.
It's like the same thing, you know? So, like, once I explained it to her, she's like, oh, okay, I get it. And then she's like, you see, I told you. Like, that situation.
I told you there's a good story behind
this.
You know
what I mean? So doing stuff like this allows me to kind of, you know, elevate that and explore. Like, I have a ton of F1 and, like, Miami Grand Prix stuff that, you know, I got to display at Grand Prix one at the F1 one year. But I want to do it bigger, you know, maybe get a brand involved to help cover the cost. You know, if you go to Disney, and certain rides are, you know, brought to you by Kodak or things like that, where like it's just sponsorship dollars to kind of help story tell. So that's the goal with the space. And like I said, for Basil, I was actually able to open the other side. Yeah, we are all friends with Drop. Drop is Drop presented.
Shout out Drop.
Yeah, Drop Good Beats. He's working with Jay Lash, which Jay Lash has been in Miami for a very long time, but he's originally from Oakland. But he was a photographer on the scene for a lot of stuff. And his talent was accessibility. He had access to a lot of shit. Mm-hmm. So he has photos of like some of the rarest photos, and because he would get access to places that a lot of people wouldn't get access. Even before me, I remember going to sets and seeing him, mm-hmm. and he would be like, "Who the fuck is this little kid here taking pictures?" And eventually, like, we became cool. And I always gave him his respect because I was walking into his house, mm-hmm. you know. And in certain sets, when he wasn't around, I was like, "All right, cool, it's my house." But you know, obviously, like, things took off for me in that sense. So he wanted to do something for him for Basil. So we set up the space, and I have Miami Music Scene Part 1, which I have so much Miami music memorabilia. And I kind of turned a second, there's like a quarter of the space, it's kind of a gallery space, and it has a bunch of photography from Jay Lash at the moment. Mm-hmm. So the space right now sits closed because it's by appointment. Mm-hmm. So I do walkthroughs and stuff like that, but I don't have employees, I don't have staff. I physically can't sit there with the door open hoping people to show up.
Yeah,
it's one of those things that, you know, I'm happy to share with whoever asks about it. There's no cover, there's no fear or anything. It's just one of those things of like, you know, like if you guys want to come and set up there on a Saturday and just interview people from there and invite people to come see live interviews, that's like the perfect space for it.
Mm.
It's a networking space.
If you insist.
You know what
if
I mean?
If you insist, you're going to have to take, you twisting my arm, Derek. We're going to have to do this.
Don't put the gun to my head. You know, but I just think it's like, we go to museums now, and they're talking about stuff from 100 and 150 years ago, 200 years ago, and it's just stories, and they can't, you know, how do you know it's true? Look, it's true. Pluto was a planet our entire life till like 3 years ago, when it's not a planet
it's
anymore.
Not a planet.
Damn, I bought a poster from my son's room because he likes planets, and like, oh shit, Pluto's not on there. I guess it's like a real thing. So
you're like, oh, you get what I'm saying? The reality of Pluto.
You get what I'm saying? So
the
it's like
that's America is a real thing. You know what I'm saying? So
it's like, to me, with my stuff, I focus on like 70s, mm-hmm. 80s, 90s Miami stuff. Some of those people are still alive. Some of those people really went to those things. And now you can kind of like fact check stuff and talk to people about it. And, oh, you know what? I have this in my closet. When I did the F1 thing, I'm literally just standing to the side of it. And call him a kid. He's probably like in his mid-20s, walks up and is like, yo, dad, that's like the jacket you have in the closet. The dad was an older guy. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, what's up? You want to sell that jacket? And I started talking to them. And he's like, oh, I used to go to every race back then. And like, I used to take him when he was a baby and all this stuff. So, you know, the photography aspect of it and all that, like, it's so close to us. Like, for example, to us, Hurricane Andrew was a few years ago, right? Like, we all went through it. It is what it is. You tell a kid that shit happened in 92, that's like telling us something that happened in 1962.
We're like, what the fuck? No, 1862.
Like,
they're
going to
be like, what?
Yeah, whatever. I wasn't that serious. So, yeah, we didn't have air conditioning for 2 weeks in the middle of August.
Until you tell them there was no internet, there was nothing. What? We didn't have internet anyways, bro.
Yo, yeah, exactly. It wasn't like something we were used to. But it's like, that's what it is to like kids. So, you know, it's a space where, like, when I did it, everybody walked up to me and was like, yo, this is so dope. You know, look, I got blessed the other day with yearbooks for University of Miami from 1938.
Yeah, I saw you posted
to 42. It was Allison. She looked out for me. She's like, these were like their family heirlooms. It's like, they're sitting here on my shelf. They should go to you, and you know, they're going into your archive. And she gave me some what is it called, some restrictions. Like, I can't sell them. They have to be part of the archive, and that's what it is. And you know, I'm gonna honor it because I don't bring stuff in to flip it. There's certain things that I just want to document, and then I'm willing to let go to trade for other things that are rare or to raise funds to buy stuff that's rare. Mm-hmm. But like something like, you know, that book is 90 something years old.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's like some crazy shit in there.
It's a beautiful thing though, because I don't think you're realizing the importance and the responsibility that you now have of...
I'm realizing it very much because this is my retirement plan. So like my goal.
So you get it, you get it.
Yeah, and my goal is to be the old guy with all the cool Miami shit.
From all like the vintage cool shit.
Yeah, when Miami turned cool, you know what I mean? Like, not to say that it wasn't cool prior, but like, you know, when the color came to Miami, it was the sauce. You know, this is, what is it, God's Waiting Room is what they called it. you know, where all the snowbirds come down here and wait to die because it's too cold where they're from. And we came in here and, you know, turned, you know, Ocean Drive and Miami Beach and, you know, as frowned upon the drug culture also built
it
Miami.
It changed it, yeah.
You know what I mean? Completely. We're all products of that. And, you know, we're also the workforce of Miami and we're also the community of Miami. And, you know, we have the story to tell. That's, you know, good and bad, good or bad is part of the story. So you got to tell it. You know what I mean?
There's a lot of good and bad stories. So.
But we're going to be fact checking over here, right?
Yeah.
So that's the goal with that. And it's like I said, it's something I do. You know, it's a big part of being an entrepreneur. Museums get paid to tell stories. I want to get paid to tell stories, so I'm opening my own museum, and I did it. You know, have I made any money off of it? Nope, but I enjoy it.
That's why I said not yet.
You know, I enjoy it. I'm having fun. I'm looking forward to doing other things. People are understanding. People are donating stuff to me. So, you know, success comes in different levels. Am I financially successful with it? No. Did I successfully open a museum? 1,000%.
Yeah, facts.
You know what I mean? So, and that's the thing is like people don't understand that you just have to get it done.
Now. And not measure success by a number,
exactly,
right?
Exactly, yeah. And then that's my theory is passion over paycheck. If you follow your passion, the paycheck is going to come. You know what I mean? If you just chase money, you know, Chappelle said it best, numbers are infinite. You're never going to be able to rest. Mm-hmm. You're always just chasing numbers.
Yeah.
You know, he also says that, like, his dad was like, you think you're going to become successful being a comedian? He's like, if I can make the salary of a teacher, then I consider myself successful. Because his father was a teacher. He's like, well, as long as you have that mindset, you're going to be fine. And look, you know, look at the level Chappelle's at. So
yeah.
I feel like, you know, he understands. I understand him and his thing. We're on the same wavelength with, like, thought process. You know, could I have left to New York or L.A. a long time ago with my network and made a lot more money? Yeah, but.
Would you be happy?
Yeah. And maybe I would. I don't know. That's not the route I took. This is the route I took. And I'm here and. And, you know, there's so much more I want to do, but, like, I'm good. I'm one of the only people I know that can wake up every day and literally do whatever I want, like, every single day. And I know that's a blessing and that's a luxury.
There's no price, man.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And a lot of people don't understand that till they get there, you know?
So I know with a museum, every piece means something different to everyone that gets to see it.
Mm-hmm.
What's your favorite piece in your museum?
So far.
It's like asking me what's my favorite thing about Lab 1305.
Right?
I got so much
shit.
How
about this? Top three. Top three pieces that really...
That you'll never let go.
Don't well, no, but I mean, there's like... So I have an original Bull Bar sign from the Bull Bar across the street from the Orange Bowl, which is the building that's still there now.
The Bull Bar?
Yeah. If you go on 7th...
Wait, the one the next... Titan?
The Bull Bar. The original Bull Bar.
Nah.
Yeah, when you drive by, you know exactly what I'm talking about. But I had it donated to me.
Okay.
They took it off. They took it off the building, so I'm now proud owner of that.
Nice.
So that's a good one. It's a big piece, but it's a statement piece. I have an original pair of Pac Jam overalls that were airbrushed.
What?
You know, and I bought those at an actual vintage shop.
Pac Jam, boy. Yeah.
I have a Saulo Gigante denim jacket.
I love it.
Which is like, that's a, you know, and I wear it too. So like, I'll be places and people freak out because like, I don't know if they ever sold. I don't know the story behind them. And I've luckily found a few of them. So I have a little stash.
A little collection.
A stash of Saulo Gigante
denim. The goal of mine is to get one on, I want to photograph Don Francisco wearing one. And I know he's still with us, so. If you know Don Francisco, holla at me.
Hey,
you know,
whoever knows Don Francisco, give us a shout. Derek's got to get that picture.
You know what I mean? And like, I want to start storytelling now and connecting. Like, I have a Cristina jacket. I would love to shoot Cristina wearing the jacket. You know what I mean? Like,
whoa.
You know, like, these people are still with us. You know, we lost Walter Mercado. I have a friend that bought a bunch of stuff from a Walter Mercado estate sale.
And for those of you who are listening that are not from Miami, these are like icons from Miami.
Icon legends.
Some of you may not even know who we're talking about right
Sábado,
now.
So Sábado Gigante translates to big Saturday,
giant
right?
Saturday.
Giant Saturday. And it was the Johnny Carson,
it was
Benny
our,
Hill.
It was our Apollo Theater.
Exactly. It was our Apollo. And man, it was wild.
It was filmed here, but it was aired all over the country. And it was aired all over Central and South America and the Caribbean.
All over the world. Yeah.
But it was filmed here in Miami.
Oh, man. That's legendary, man. Yeah. Legendary.
You know, and he was like one of the biggest Chilean. Like, he's Chilean. You know what I mean? And he made a lot of noise here.
Yeah.
You know? He went to go see the member of the Chilean miners that got stuck.
Mm-hmm. He went over there?
Yeah, he went over there.
He's still kicking too.
Yeah. Boy, God bless him.
Last time I saw him on the gram, he was at, I think it was at Emilio Estefan's birthday. And I was like, oh shit, you know, the Estefans are somebody I've never met. And I have so much Gloria stuff and so much Miami Sound Machine stuff that I feel like they would embrace it. You know what I mean? So like, I need to, you know, I know in the hip hop community, I'm well more connected than anything. So I'm trying to like.
To the crossover.
Yeah, crossover, you know, because there's so much other Miami that, you know, they know who I am. I know who they are, but we haven't done business together or I haven't been. You know, all the reggaeton and reparto and all the stuff that's been here, I'm not connected to none of that scene. I don't get invited to none of that stuff. I don't, you know, I'm not in that world. And it's because it's a completely different world handled by completely different people. You know, so it's you know, you get put in a box, not on purpose, but, you know, my goal is to expand. Be able to jump around and expand. And at this point, it's for narrative, it's for storytelling and preservation and archiving. So it's like I have people that, like I said, like Allison, she gave me those books because she knows they're going to be better use or in better hands going into the archive than, you know,
just
being,
sitting on her shelf.
Sitting on her shelf, you know, and it gives her more space to put more stuff that she likes. Not to say she didn't like these, but, you know, she just, it's one of those things where, like, you know, hey, this is better with you. You know what I mean? And whenever she needs them, she knows where they are. She can come grab them. And
shout out to her. Hopefully there's more people that will come up to the forefront with things like that, because definitely.
It was a trade-off, though, but she, you know, we're both happy.
I'm sure it was well worth it, though, happy. You know? Yeah.
So. That's the important part. It was an even trade-off. Yeah. Both parties
even,
are happy.
Even, I don't know, but it was a trade-off. It was good.
That's the important part. Both parties are happy.
Let's get back to real business. Let's talk about Live on 305, who we got lined up as far as who's spinning. I don't know if you can tell us any exclusives.
I can tell you who's spinning because we've been on staff. No, there's a lot of surprises.
You know what? It just, when you see the whole lineup, it feels like it's an ode to the DJ. That's what I feel. I feel like, well, it's an ode to the DJ.
To me, it's always because beyond
the venue and all.
Beyond the venue and all that stuff. To me, I always make it about the DJ because
they're the ones who got the party rocking, right?
Yep. Beyond that is that you can also operate. You can. Music is one of the only things, and DJs are one of the only things, to my understanding. Remember, I'm completely sober all the time, so when I go to parties or festivals or anything, I'm just analyzing. You can enjoy a DJ and still shop and eat and do other stuff while the DJ is performing, and you can embrace it. If it's a performance, you have to stop what you're doing to focus on the performer. Yeah. So I always think, like, to set the mood, set the vibe, I think DJs are the most important thing for me. If I put a talent on there and they're headlining, people are going to show up for that. They're not going to give their respect to everything else. That's why I always keep performances low key and a surprise. And if you got it, you got it. If you missed it, you
all
missed
right,
it.
So we're not getting an exclusive. You got to go.
You gotta pull up on Thursday.
You got to go.
Make sure to RSVP at live105.com.
All right, but let's talk about this lineup.
So the lineup right now, in chronological order, is DJ Live It Up, DJ Obscene, and Live It Up will be live on Power 96 Afternoon Drive with Mijo. So, excuse me, we'll be on the air live
so
with him.
So this is real live.
Yeah.
live.
Then I have DJ Lucky C representing 99 Jams. He'll be up next. Yeah. After DJ Lucky C, I'm having DJ Pee-wee, and she's going to be doing, she does this party called the Honey Party. It's a party for the honeys. So she's going to be
and
performing
there. And she's
beautiful,
there. So she's definitely going to bring in a lot of...
She's going to bring in the honeys.
Yeah.
So they're doing... She's going to do a magic hour set. So her set will be during... While the sun is setting, so it'll be a nice
beautiful
vibe. Yeah. Then next we have DJ Mills. She'll be with us for the first time. Then we have DJ Volume from University of Miami. He does all the UM games. So like all the content of like the guy DJing at the stadium. This is
real
the,
Miami shit.
You know, he's coming out. I have DJ Junior doing an Hora Loca. So like a full Latin set, like straight nice. Baja Panty a lo loco. Like if you're from Miami, you know about these parties. He's going to go straight Dominican party style. You okay. know what I mean? So we're going to have fun with that. Then I have the guys from Silky. They do this really cool R&B party at Tacos and Tattoos. Which is J-Tunes and Loy Shook. They're going to come out and do a set to represent Silky. Then I got 103.5 The Beat coming out with DJ Bulletproof and DJ Entice. I got Sam Sneak's gonna do his thing, right. And then I got Bashman coming out, which is Silent Addy and Disco Neil. You know, last year they had the big Shake It to the Mac record. You know, they had the biggest record last year, and they're from here, so they're gonna come out. And they just dropped a new record, Ballerina. Shout out to them. But they're gonna come out and rep. Then I obviously have EFN coming out with the whole Crazy Hood team.
Shout out Crazy
Heckler, Hood. Eddie Giggs, everyone. They'll all be in the building. Mr. Mauricio coming out representing 103.5 again, and then I have DJ EFX closing out the show. And they all got surprises, so.
Lots of homies, lots of big names.
What kind of surprises, Derek?
A lot of them. You have to show up. If the first 100 people to show up are gonna get a nice treat at the door, we're not gonna tell you what it is. You just gotta show up. And we are gonna be at Vivo at Dolphin Mall, so you can come early, hang out, go walk the mall, come back, go walk the mall again, come back.
Make a full day, full experience. Yeah. This is during the day, going through the night. Yeah. Till the break of dawn, hopefully, we'll see what happens.
We'll see what happens.
You gotta make sure you RSVP though.
Yeah, definitely RSVP. We're trying to gauge how many people are coming out to give you guys a better experience. If we know how many people would expect, we obviously can plan for that.
Let them know where they need to RSVP, where they can find all the info on this.
Liveon305.com, at Liveon305. You know, this year we teamed up with Only in Dade and Unknown Group, so the masses will be in the building. So, you know, we're very happy for that, and we're very blessed for that as well. The venue has free parking, which no venues in Miami have free parking. So that's more money for alcohol for you guys.
That's a look, big look, big look.
We're gonna have some good food surprises. We'll announce this week. It's gonna be dope. It's gonna be really, really dope. Obviously, all the photo ops. You know, I'm a photographer by trade, so I'm always gonna have the cool photo ops, and that's something I always try to push every year. Last year we brought out the jet ski, and that was cool. So this year we have a lot of cool photo ops. And once again, we're doing it at Dolphin Mall. Like, we're having a festival at Dolphin Mall. And like I said, it's festival style, so it's in and out. We're setting up our DJs kind of like boiler room style, so the DJ is actually going to be on the floor, so the crowd can kind of surround the DJ all the way around. And we're filming every single set, so you're going to be able to come out on YouTube and, you know, just kind of dance and do your dance and have fun with it. You know, we got some local dancer influencers coming out to kind of show some Miami dances. It's a lot of cool surprises.
It's gonna be dope.
I'm excited. I'm happy. Yeah, liveon305.com.
And that's where can they find you as an individual to see your projects and your career and branding and stuff?
Derek_G, DERICK_G. And on my bio, I have everything that you can tap into everything through there.
And there's a lot to look at. Derek stays busy, bro.
Especially the last tab.
What's the last tab, Derek?
The Vixens.
Get him on, yeah.
Save the best for last.
Facts. Well, Derek, man, I tell you, man, it's always a pleasure having you on the show. Having, you know, to dig deep into Miami culture is always a pleasure with someone that's doing it. You know what I mean?
Thank you for incorporating us as well.
Hell yeah. No, we're going to be at Live 305. We're gonna have a domino table out there. It's going to be great. It's going to be a good time. So we're going to play dominoes. Last time, you didn't get a chance to sit down or play dominoes because you were running around everywhere.
Yeah, you need to come and sit down with us, sit even down if it's just for a couple 5 minutes.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're here. I'm here. I
got
to go.
I got the support this year. You know, blessed. Once again, I teamed up with these guys, so I got the support this year. And I think it'll be easier.
Nice.
It's not going to be easy, but it'll be easier than other times. So.
Well, you know, one of the things I do want to close out with is since you're doing the series on trying to motivating people on becoming an entrepreneur, believing in themselves, any tidbits of advice you want to just drop before we end?
I preach all the time, for something you pay to do, someone gets paid to do. My biggest example, if you like to fuck, become a porn star. It's that easy. So you like food, become a food. It's that literal. You know what I mean? If you like driving fast, work on becoming a race car driver. Anything you'd pay to do. You love amusement parks. You love roller coasters. There's people that get paid to test those things. Like, you can literally become that person. You just have to figure out how. And it's not as difficult as people think it is. It's just a matter of, are you willing to make the sacrifice? Or if you have to move to another state, another city, like,
you know, do you have what it takes?
Yeah, like, a dream of mine, honestly, would be to be an Imagineer.
Oh, wow.
Like, how dope would that be? Like, you get to, like, I watch all these different Imagineer documentaries and, like, how they develop rides. And, you know, the only downside of it is that a project takes, like, 10 years. I don't know if I would get bored. I like doing so much different things. So that's the only thing, like, that's the only negative I see this whole thing. And it's like, they're planning stuff out years in advance, and that's how they move. I mean, I deal with big corporations now. Nike's one of my biggest clients, and like we're planning stuff out. You know, I know projects that we're gonna work on 2 years in advance. We for the last last Super Bowl we did here, I started sitting down with them 3 years before the Super Bowl was here, wow. Planning for that. You know, I think I had like 3 meetings with them up to the Super Bowl, and it was literally like a meeting a year, mm-hmm. and they would just hit me up like, hey, we're gonna be in town. You know, we need 3 days with you, and it's just you know. That's how they move, and I understand that's how the corporate giants move, but you know, I'm more of a creative than I am a photographer at this point, and I've always been a creative. I think photography was just my outlet, and that's my goal at this point. I want to team up with the people who are executing and just kind of give my 2 cents to how I think it'll be better, or it'll be more relevant, or how it can relate better to people or the area, you know. So you know, technical director for music, like I was watching a documentary the other day about Fast and the Furious, and they mentioned about like this gentleman, I forgot his name now, he was a technical director. What does that mean? He's a guy that's in the car scene. This movie's about cars. We make movies, we don't know nothing about cars, so let's ask him. Mm-hmm. So he got paid to tell them like
how the car moves,
this car shouldn't be this way, and you should paint this car this color because this isn't that. So one of the facts that they brought out that made me pause it and look for him and follow him was Too Fast, Too Furious, which is the one they filmed in Miami, he was supposed to come. They were going to do whatever the studio is, was supposed to do a deal with Dodge, the car company. Mm-hmm. And Paul Walker's car, which is the hero of the movie, was going to be an SRT Dodge Neon, which is, I don't want to be a dick, but it's not a cool car. And the technical director said, no way, you guys are going to kill the franchise before it even becomes a franchise. Like, real car guys are not going to, like...
They're not going to gravitate to that.
They're not going to gravitate. They're going to, like, not lose respect, but it's like, meh. He should have gone with something better.
Yeah.
And they were like, well, what do you recommend? He happened to own the first right-hand drive Japanese Nissan Skyline G, I don't know what, in the country, which is a silver and blue one that he pulls up in at the very first race when they race through downtown.
Wow.
It was very iconic because those cars were illegal in this country. This guy that knows, and he's in that world. So for example, they're gonna make a movie about donks, they can come to me or any of the donk guys, and we can become the technical director to be like, hey, this is how it needs to be. And I've kind of molded myself to become that guy. So when the big companies come to Miami and they're like, we wanna do something here, what's the right way of doing it? The 305 swoosh on the Air Maxes or on the box. Yeah. Remember when that came out? The one that I have on my feet right now?
Yeah.
I'm the one that told him to do that. Because I was like, you can do Miami, and Miami you can buy everywhere.
Yeah.
But we're not all from Miami. For example, I'm from Hialeah. We're Miami-Dade County, but we used to be Metro-Dade County.
Yep.
The same way Los Angeles County is Los Angeles County, but Los Angeles is one area. Inglewood is another area. Compton is...
Yeah.
So I had to explain it so they understood that. So I was like, if you make something that says Dade County or 305, now you're talking to all of us.
Yep.
And then that's why that year when they did that collaboration for Super Bowl, they dropped the swoosh with the Dade, the shoe gallery was selling, and they had in the stores. They did the whole Lamborghini thing. And that all came from my conversation with them. We're like, Miami is cool, but we're not all from Miami. If you want to speak to all of us, put 305, put Dade County. And like, I pushed for that, and they did it. So
that's so dope, though.
So to me, it's like, I want to be that person to where, like, when you come down here, I can help you at a street level.
Mm-hmm.
There's elevated Miami. There's rich Miami. There's bougie Miami. There's Jewish Miami. There's white Miami. There's black Miami.
So you do
black
specialize
Miami.
In something.
But, you know, but like, I when it comes to like, yo, you want cool street level culture stuff, or it's like, why the music videos look the way they do. Mm-hmm. Like, I want to be able to be that person. So, like, that's what I'm working towards. So, with the history stuff is a big part of it, because now, if it does open doors for me... Oh, look, on March 16th, I'm actually going to go speak at University of Miami.
Hey!
How gangster is that?
That is dope as hell. What are you going to speak on?
I have no idea. I'm going to go talk to a communications class about what? I have no idea. I have to speak to the teacher. But I actually went to go film a client of mine at that teacher. The teacher has multiple classes. And I spoke up about something he was saying. And she pulled me to the side. She's like, I would love you to speak to one of my communications classes. But she hasn't told me about what. So she kind of like, I told her who I was and what I've done in my career. And he also happened to like, he was like, you guys see him sitting there. You guys have no idea who he is, but we met through LeBron and he explained who I was and everything. Mm-hmm. So obviously then at the end, a couple of the students came over and spoke to me about it because I was just there documenting him. I was there working.
Yeah.
But because I spoke up, it got the interest of, you know, having a conversation with her. And I'm actually going to go speak now. So it went Amazing. From me going to document. I actually went to go document John Jay a few years ago. And then I went to go document David Alexander from DBC. And then now it allowed me, like, she invited me to go speak to one of her classes. So, like, look, I'm not a college-educated person, and I'm going to go speak to college students, you know what I mean?
It's
so,
fucking amazing,
so,
bro.
You know,
I love
it's, but it's one of those things where, like, I'm very authentic, I guess, when it comes to this kind of stuff. You know, and I pulled up with, like, a dope, like, Hurricanes jacket too, and it's like, and then he was like, he has crazy hurricane shit, you know. He told the class or whatever, but I want to enjoy everything I do every day, and I know I'm not the only one, but I'm one of the few that's actually doing it. And if you're not doing it, it's nobody's fault but yours. And I understand everyone's situation is different. I understand life is not easy for everybody, but I'm a big believer that life is only as difficult as you make it. So you just have to look at everything and understand how to work around it. You know what I mean? I work with it.
Ladies, if he wanted to, he would.
I'm going to add that sound effect.
Yeah.
Make it happen, guys. Make it happen.
Just bleep over what she's saying.
He would.
Yo, I can't believe you said that. That's crazy. Why are you saying that on air?
Just make it happen, right?
I love it, man. I love it. And that's... I think that's what makes you so unique. You know what I'm saying? That state of mind, and everyone gravitates towards it because it is, it's Miami.
Well, you know what?
Not everybody.
Right, and that's the good part because your tribe finds you. I don't want everybody. I want my people.
Bro, I love that.
I don't want everybody because not everybody. I don't want everybody to come to my party. I don't want the haters there. I don't want the negative people there. I don't want the naysayers there. I want the people that are, yo, I'm here to have a good time. I'm here because I like what you're doing. I don't want critics. And my new critics.
God, we're invited.
You know what I mean? Like I want, like, if you got a call for me, and some people hit me up, it's like, hey, how can I be involved? And if it makes sense, I was like, hey, look, let me see what I could do. And I got receipts for all that shit. There's other people that I don't care for them to be there, whether they're coming in through different parties or everything. Once again, this is not about me, it's communal. So I have to open the doors. But don't get it fucked up. If people need to be put in their place, they will be put in their place. Because at the end of the day, this is something I built. This is for the community. And I can't expect, for example, these radio stations to team up and do this if I'm not going to lead by example.
Yeah.
So I have to lead by example too. But that, once again, I don't want everybody there. Mm-hmm. I want the right people there. And what I mean by that is the people who are going to embrace, the people who are going to cherish what we're doing, the people who are going to enjoy what we're doing and understand the work that it takes to do. So I've always said, your tribe's going to find you. Do what you love. Put it out there. Even if it sucks, put it out there. Because all it takes is one more time to do it right, mm-hmm. and your life changes.
Mm-hmm.
You
right.
know what I mean? You could literally be one moment, one effort, one moment, one motion to, like, get you over that hump mm-hmm. that, you know, things take off for you. So... You know, to me, that I'm trying to make this the ultra of 305, the Rolling Loud of 305. Like, I want this to have multiple stages at some point. I want every radio station in Miami to be involved. I want it to be like street, like, even though Caiocho's on the street, Caiocho's very Latin.
Yeah.
I want this to be multicultural for people from here. Caiocho celebrates the people that live here from different countries, and it celebrates different countries. This event celebrates us as first generations, as local, like... People don't understand that, like, we, the same way Columbus and all those people came and touched down here and did that, and that turned into something, we are products of the first people that came here, our parents.
Mm-hmm.
So we're literally, like, we stuck our flag here
mm-hmm.
because our parents left their country and left all their shit behind.
For us.
And, you know, to be able to do that and allow me to have the life that I had and the opportunities to create a better life for me and my family now. It's crazy because you look back and it's like, I've traveled the world. I've been blessed with that. But, like, my mom left her country
mm-hmm.
to come here to figure it out without me in mind, because obviously I didn't exist.
Yeah.
She came here trying to find a better life for herself, and I'm blessed for that. And she actually moved to New York first. Thank God she came down to Miami.
Shoot.
You know what I mean? Imagine Derek G from New York.
We're in Tim's right now.
Nope. I'm out here with our friends and family. No Tim's for me. I've never owned a pair of Tim's.
Yeah?
You know what I mean? But it's the sacrifice. Think about like the people, you know, think about all the people from Cuba that, you know, won the lottery to come here, and they had to, they could only leave with stuff that's on their body. They couldn't take nothing with them.
Yeah.
Taping family pictures to their body. Like, think about how fucking crazy that is.
That's insane. Yeah.
You know, and we're products of that. You know what I mean? My girl's family's full Cuban, and you know, the stories that they tell me and what they went through to come over here and the different countries they had to go to get here. And, you know, we're an immigrant city. But we, you know, us as first generation, we're Latin Americans.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we speak two languages. And people don't understand the power of speaking. Like, yo, Haitians speak three languages. That's
amazing.
Powerful. Like,
heck
that's
yeah.
Gangster, you know what I mean? I wish I spoke Creole. I wish I could understand what them ladies be saying, you know what I mean? When I be out. But, like, you know, it's a superpower.
It is.
And
it
it's
really
like
is.
To think that, like, English is a superior language, like, nah. Like, being multi-language, being, you know, trilingual. You know, there's people that I met a dude that spoke five languages, like, that's, I wish.
Wow, bro.
You know, and as you get older, it gets harder to do. But, like, that to me, being by or being multiverse in language, like, that's a superpower. You know what I mean? Think about it. We literally could walk into a room and switch up.
Yeah.
Think about that. How gangster is that?
You just switch up wherever we go.
We could be like, if we wanted, like, people not to understand, podemos empezar a hablar así, yeah?
Yes, I know.
You know what I mean? That's gangster. You know what
it
I mean?
Is.
So, it... For me, 305 is once again, it's not a specific race, it's not a specific nationality. It's just Miami street culture and everything that comes with it, good, bad, and ugly. You know what I mean? And it's just, we celebrate it because that's what gives us our grit. We, you know, we had to learn with our parents. Some of us, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And my girl told me she used to have to translate papers for her parents because they didn't read in English.
Yeah.
Imagine being 10, 11 years old.
You're translating adult documents.
You know what I mean? Like, think about that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Some people, and it's not nobody's fault that that happened to us, and it's not nobody's fault that that didn't happen to other people, but think about what that does to somebody and, like, the strength that it gives you. And I'm not talking as a victim. I'm talking as, like, you know, the grit. That's just another wall we had to jump. That's just something else that we had to do to get stronger.
Yep. That's what sets us apart from everybody else in the world.
You know what I mean? And that goes to for anyone else that had to leave their country and set up shop somewhere else. You know what I mean? At the end of the day, we're all on the same mission. We're trying to have a better life for ourselves and our families. So to me, that's what it is, man. It's, you know, whether you call it hood, ghetto, street, whatever you call it, it's to be celebrated and it's fun.
You know, above all else, it's a lot of fun.
And if you don't believe it, come out on Thursday.
You can call me out. If it sucks, walk up to me and tell me, and I'll give you your money back, even though it's free.
Live on 305. Make sure you guys do those RSVPs. Where can they do it again?
Liveon305.com.
Yeah, that's what's up, man. So, Derek, thanks a lot for everything, bro. Always a pleasure.
I appreciate you guys.
And we'll see you Thursday, bro.
Thanks
we
for
may have to
too.
Do a recap after.
Yeah.
All you other podcasters, take notes. Every time I come here, I have a little something nice
he
for
has
me.
A gift.
It's a gesture every single time. Appreciate you guys.
All right, guys. Take it easy. Thanks for tuning in.
See you on Thursday.
Thursday is D-Day. That one.
Imagine that shit stopped recording like 2 minutes in.
No, don't say that.
Better go check that shit.